CliffCentral.com.
All she needed was some.
Good afternoon, everybody. You're hanging out with Malcolm Clearly from the West, guys. This Wednesday is about to be the best one yet, yo. Here we go.
At a Clippers game on the court side, watch a nigga shoot like a 4-5. They mad at me too, I got more fire. Why these bitches see you? Go home, ride.
Go home, ride.
See in some mirror in my bed, I'm a smart guy.
I ain't fucking with you niggas like a part-time.
Hits on my list, check my archive. So immaculate, instead of asking what's happening, rather blast a Jackson 5 in the back of an Acura, acting blacker than the Bernie Mac to Charlie Murphy's and Akon. The girls that you brought, man, where are they from? Where are they from? We were playing PlayStation. Why you standing there, say song? Girl, say song. No, this ain't a vacation. This is my house, all you need is...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what that means. That's Childish Gambino with Chance the Rapper. It's called The Worst, guys. Obviously, it was a shout out to our show. When they made that song, they knew there's these homies out in Jersey who need an intro song for their show. Yeah, we've got quite a show today, so please, if you want to chat to us, hit us up on the Twitter streets at @the_worstguys, or you can talk to us at cliffcentral.com. Also, you can hit us up on WhatsApp on 079-748-2090.
But afterwards, it was awkward as fuck, because I'm nervous as fuck. You cannot get it up. I need a minute, cold water to the face. I couldn't finish, got the Uber from a place on my porch, smoking vapor, hit with the Sunday paper, listening to the neighbors.
All she needed was some.
So if you're tuning in live, you're listening to The Worst, guys. If you don't know what we're about, you're about to find out. We're the worst of the worst. Always telling the truth like it is. Never lying. Never lying. People are afraid to say shit out here, and we are ones who are going to break the barriers of conservatism in this country, yo. We're going to break the glass ceiling because we always tell it like it is. You can call us the worst if you want, but as long as we're being honest, we're happy. And that's where we come to find truth and humor. You come to find it here at The Worst, guys. Like I said, my name is Malcolm Julian. It's great to be here on this Wednesday afternoon. It's by far my favorite day of the week. So I'm really glad to be here chatting with you guys. Today we have a great topic as always. We're always lit here because the country's lit. Actually, our news is more interesting than anything else today. But we do have an interesting topic. We're talking about South Africa and whether or not we have the ability to become a first world country, and if we'll be alive to see this. By we, I mean the people who are already born in the next 100 years, essentially. Can South Africa be a first world country? I genuinely do believe that I will be able to see it. So we'll just talk a little bit about what it would take for us to get there. What can you do to contribute to make South Africa a first world country? Because I honestly love this country so much. I don't know how you guys feel, but I honestly believe that this is one of the greatest countries, if not the greatest country in the world. We have so much going for us. We just need to figure it out, man. And we're still a young democracy, so there's no judgment, no pressure on us. But let's have the conversation amongst ourselves to think about where to go next in order to reach that first world status. How do we make ourselves the best in our eyes and in the rest of the world? Yeah, we'll be getting into that conversation a little bit later on. That is Scorpion Fish by Beatenberg. I've really fallen in love with this band recently, and they're actually part of the reason why we're having this conversation today, because I've just been thinking, man, their album The Hanging Gardens of Beatenberg is absolutely incredible, and not many people know about this album in South Africa, and it's honestly one of the best albums I've heard come out of South Africa. And I'm wondering what it takes for people to realize and recognize greatness. What does it take for us to be great, for us to get to that place where an album as great as this is not missed by the majority of people in the country? That's just one of the reasons why we having this topic, man. It's really something that I'm passionate about. We are great. I know we are great, and I know you guys know it too. So yeah, we're gonna get into a little bit of all of that, but first and foremost, you know, South Africa's always a situation, you know, it's like a TV show that never ends when we talk about the social political issues that are facing us. So we'll go into a little bit of what of the stories that have been taking place over the last week since we last spoke, and let's see what comes out. It's been a pretty interesting week, if you ask me. Playboy and Penny at it again. There is some trouble like that. Okay, so the first thing that I want to talk about is the Stellies poster that has been making waves on social media. I don't fully understand it. It's quite a right-wing poster taken from Nazi Germany and literally transposed into South African context. The Afrikaners of Stellies want to take it back. You know, they want to make Stellies great again. That's the idea that I get when I see this poster. And it's bizarre to me because the poster doesn't reflect any true reflection of South Africa. You know, it's a blonde girl with blue eyes, you know, the Aryan race that the Germans were pushing for. And we don't really have that when it comes to South Africa. That's not what the representation of our country is. They should have had a young mama there with some beads around her neck, no shirt on, you know, boobs out, hanging, living free. That's what I think would have been more ideal if we talk about representing the full South Africa and getting it back. But yeah, the Stellies poster is not about it. They are just like, nah, we want the blonde and the blue hair, blue eyes to rule the country. So that was a real big shock and surprise for me, man. I really wish my boy Rehab was here to comment on this, because I know he has some strong opinions on it. But for those of you who are missing his voice, he is on his way. He's just held up in his jail cell there that most people like to call work. So just give it some time. But we'll hop back into this, because I really want to know what he feels about this Stellies poster. Yeah, but anyway, it's hard to believe that people still think like this today in South Africa. After all that we've been through, after we've been through 2016, guys, we went through 2016 and we made it out alive. You know what? Shout out to us, yo. Shout out. Well done to anybody still alive. People died last year. Muhammad Ali was too weak for 2016. So you better be proud of yourself for making it through that. But still, even though we've gone through all of that, Stellies decides to be a puss and puts up this poster. Whatever, man. Whatever. Let's not pay them too much mind. I remember the whole Afrikaans debacle that happened at Stellies. Yeah, man, that is a really traditionalist Afrikaans university. And to be honest with you, this is something that I've been struggling with in terms of the Afrikaans culture, because we tend to see the Afrikaans as the oppressors of the nation. So we often isolate them from the processes of becoming a better democracy and becoming the rainbow nation that we do want. So I think we should think about their perspective and how to include them in the future of South Africa. But when posters like this are coming out, it makes it really difficult for us to actually have unity. But ultimately, we all want the same thing. I don't want to beef with Afrikaners. I don't want to beef with anybody. I'm genuinely tired of being angry, and I'm looking for solutions. So I don't want to forget the Afrikaners. But you know, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do together? You know, together. Anyway, let's move on to the next story. The El Dorado Park protests that have been taking place. Signs are burning. Rocks are being thrown on the highway. What else? There's been looting at garages and the like. So this is a protest regarding slow housing by the government, which is nothing new. But anyway, these are what the protest is about. There's a lack of service delivery, which is no new story to us in South Africa. But the interesting point that I would like to touch on a little bit is about our protests. You know, there's elements of the criminal elements are hijacking protests, I'm starting to believe. I don't know why it has to get to that point before anything is done. I still don't think anything will be done for El Dorado Park in the long run. But the criminal elements are a real problem. Why loot stores? Why take away from the exact community that you're trying to save? This is the part that I don't understand about these kinds of protests. I mean, say your piece, but you don't have to steal, dog. It's not going to solve the actual situation. The situation will be solved if people at the top stop stealing, but it doesn't mean you have to start because our leaders are doing so. I know they usually say follow the leader, but in this case, in South Africa, do not follow the leader. I repeat, do not follow the leader in South Africa in this particular case. So yeah, I don't know why the criminal elements keep popping up in protests, but it's really anti-productive, and we need to consider the new ways to protest. Maybe we should just stick to the Zuma must go granny style of protesting. Just sing a young Zuma must go, Zuma must go, Zuma must go. Or El Dorado Park, El Dorado Park, El Dorado Park. That's what we need to be doing. Stop burning shit, man. But yeah, that's been going on since Monday. And yeah, it seems to be slowing down. But still, there's been crimes happening there in El Dorado Park alongside these protests. Also, there have been four lions that escaped the Kruger National Park yesterday, which is crazy. I don't know how they organized that. You know, maybe they spoke to one of the guards. It's like, yeah, just leave the gate open. We plan on doing this at midnight. Don't say anything to anyone. All right. I don't know how they did it. And mostly why? Why? I'm not a lion, so I don't know how they think. But why would the lions want to escape? I mean, the Kruger National Park is quite a vast area of land. I presume they get to do what lions do, you know, sleep and fucking eat. I don't see why they'd feel the need to necessarily escape, because they've got all they need, unless zookeepers aren't feeding them and they're on a hunger strike and they want to see what's going on beyond the Kruger National Park. Maybe there was just a hole in the gate. It's like, hey guys, what's this over here? I see a little hole. Should we experiment? See what's going on out there? Look at that wild animal with four wheels moving so fast. What is that? I want to know. So I don't really understand the reason behind the lions escaping. But there's still one left out there. Wow, which is crazy, because what is he eating? What is he eating? Has he chowed a human? Mpumalanga, be careful. There's a lion in the streets. You know, it would be so bad for a foreigner to come to South Africa right now, go to Mpumalanga where this lion still is, and get eaten by that lion. We'd never be able to defend ourselves again, saying that South Africa doesn't have random lions roaming around in the streets, because we do. And there's one right now who's hungry as fuck, and he's about to chow somebody. So let's hope he gets caught. The three of them are back and recaptured. Oh, my boy's in the building. Let me just get him involved here. Richaba. Welcome, 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 my boy. What's happening? Oh, we can't hear you there. Are you alive there?
I'm not too sure. You need to tell me.
Hola, hola, hold up. I'll get you here, dog. No stress, no stress. What mic are you there, number one?
Hello, hello.
Nah, chill, dog.
I think you need to push the volumes up, brother.
Ah, yes, that is true. That is true. Clever man, this guy. Clever man. All right. Can you hear yourself now?
Not really.
Not really. All right. All right. Let's get you involved. Okay. Anyway, so I'll tell you. I'll catch you up on what we're doing since you've been missing. So we were talking about the Stelly's poster. I was telling the people that I really want to hear your opinion on the Stelly's poster and what's been going on there. Did you see the blonde hair girl with Stelly's poster?
You know, I'm not the kind of guy who's trying to follow up with the news because all it is just fucking bad news, and I ain't trying to read about bad news, bro.
Yeah.
The only time I follow news is when it might affect me directly. Like if the price of protein goes up, I'm gonna be quite hacked in life.
Creatine
and my gym fees go up, that's when I'll strike.
All right. No, there's just this poster of a blonde girl. They use the Nazi picture of this blonde girl in Stelly's, almost saying something like, make Stelly's great again, bring it back, whatever the case may be. Yeah, it was deep, and you know people on Twitter are emotional.
Hey man, everybody's emotional, like,
yeah, too emotional. All right. Okay, so anyway, we'll carry on with a few news stories because we actually have a juicy topic to get through today. The Buhle Mkhize and Malusi Gigaba story. Okay, so
this sounds like a sex scandal.
It is. So Malusi Gigaba, the finance minister's wife, had an interview on ENCA, and she kind of exposed the side chick that Malusi Gigaba has.
Was she rightfully?
She has the right to, I believe, but I don't think she went about it the right way. The interview, she doesn't seem like she's got her head on completely straight. But anyway.
Hey, man. Listen, if you're a dog, you're a dog. You need to be exposed for the dog you are. Back in the days, I got exposed. So now this Malusi Gigaba must also get exposed.
No matter who you are.
Yeah, you must get exposed.
Don't cheat, dog. Just don't cheat. Hey, it's not worth it.
I don't even know how to explain to this guy how much your life can be so stress-free if you just stick to one vagina, man.
Dog, you've tasted pussy before. Why you gotta go out there?
It's all the same.
Holes is holes. Eat that pussy. When you're done with it, go to the next one. Yeah. Why you want to chop and change, dog? Just chill. Relax.
That's gluttony.
Yeah, we're selfish. Relax yourself. Calm down.
We also want a job.
Anyway.
That's why niggas in South Africa are starving.
Yeah.
Hunger.
Anyway, so this Buhle Mkhize, she released all the files on Malusi Gigaba and the wife and the whole scandal itself.
No filter.
No filter. She basically had a PowerPoint presentation on Twitter. That's what that's what it's being referred to now. It's a PowerPoint presentation.
One of those first tweet, second tweet.
Yeah. Ah. And it has a number of stories. She called Malusi Gigaba a very black frog. She went all in claiming that the wife has no real educational documents or experience, and her certificates are a lie. Like, the whole story was just a lot.
Then there must be more to it than just Mr. I.
Yeah, there always is with these kind of things. You know, you never know if it's just a publicity stunt or if this is actually serious. But I do think it's a real thing that she is the mistress and that Malusi Gigaba was cheating. But yeah, this is the whole thing. Malusi Gigaba's chilling. He's out of the story. His wife and the mistress are beefing now. He's relaxing, taking it easy.
Yeah, you see, I don't even know what to say about this because I've seen this happen in real life. This kind of situation in the store, you know.
Yeah.
Nigga comes in with the side bay, you know, and he's buying shit for the side bay. Next thing you know, the wife walks past the store and sees that, hey, my man, hey, that, I recognize that nigga, that looks like my man.
I recognize that bag too, somebody got me that bag not so long ago.
Walks into the store, the side bitch slaps the shit out of the wife.
Whoa, that's so wild.
Yeah, you behave or else you jump.
You know, and then the man has the audacity to, like, you know when you're trying to stop somebody from fighting, but in actual fact you're protecting one of the sides. Like, if you're fighting with Jacob Zuma, I'm gonna hold you back because I'm protecting you.
Yeah.
Guy holds the side bae. I'm like, guy,
what a body this guy.
So, you know, it goes back to that fact of men are stupid, you know. I don't even generalize because I've learned my lesson. I was once blind, but now I see.
I feel you on the exact same tip. You know, it's as I'm growing up. You know, there was this thing that we had as growing up. Maybe it's because we went to an all-boys school, but I don't know. There's this thing amongst men where, you know, the guy who's eating the most is the guy. You know, he's the cool cat. So everybody wanted to be having sex with the most amount of partners as possible. I don't know who you're trying to prove to that you're cool. You're cool, dog. It's okay. The amount of pussy you chow doesn't make you even better.
Folks thought they were cool coming back with chlamydia. Yeah, I know. I just, you know what I got during the holiday. Yes. Chlamydia boy
from everywhere.
Yeah, but I'm cool now. I'm cool. It's not cool.
Yeah, you see, so I've realized as I started to grow older, whatever, man. It's just like one of those things that you can have, and if you don't have an actual connection with somebody, there's no need to foster the pursuit. You know, there's beautiful people everywhere.
Yeah, just, and it's like, I've been in many situations where you get tempted. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
The best way to handle that shit, just ignore it. I know I used to play the fool and say the best way to fight temptation is just to give into it. Don't do that shit.
Just go have a wank and release yourself.
After you
and
wank,
you'll be fine.
You'll be like, oh, what was I even thinking about?
Exactly. You just have some pent up tension in you.
Yeah, release.
Stop cheating so we can stop this men are trash thing.
Yes, bruh. You're making us all look bad.
Now, my Lucy, especially you, dog. Hey, finance minister. Anyway, the last thing that actually, another reason that brought me to the topic of today is that we've put in a bid to host the 2023 Rugby World Cup, which I think is great news. I think we'd do a great job. Obviously, 1995 was a success, especially politically in South Africa. Who knows? Maybe there's something political that this World Cup will achieve as well. Maybe we'll get back to the Rainbow Nation after this Rugby World Cup.
If South Africa wins that World Cup, and we get that bid, right?
Yeah.
And we host it. Who do you think will hold the cup up? Do you think it'll be my money?
Oh, the way Mandela did. Oh, the way. Oh no, by 2023,
Mbeki did it.
Yeah, Mandela.
Zuma will never see that cup.
I honestly think it'll be my money.
You honestly,
yeah, and or whoever the next president of the ANC is, because if the ANC continues with Zuma until 2019, I think they'll disintegrate. But if they don't, then they'll continue to thrive way past and into 2023. That would be the last year of their next reign if they were to rule.
But
again,
the way you said that, at the same time, it feels like you're not so happy with that choice.
With the ANC?
No, with the way you said my money.
Yeah, like, because I'd want Julius to do it. Obviously, Julius is my guy. But I think in terms of the bigger scheme of things, the likelihood of the success of the DA
majority
is,
of the vote
is
South Africa is going to
if we're going somewhere else other than the ANC. You know, the youth is behind the EFF, which is great, but the older people, not so much. They're not a big fan because they saw all Malema's blunders. Those Heineken days, disfigured me, all that shit. He was lit at a time.
Yeah, but I think that was all just the publicity stunt. He had to be cha-cha.
He was young, man. He's growing now. He's growing. Everybody grows, everybody changes.
I've seen that guy
changes.
In real life, man. Hey, I don't want to lie. I don't know whether he's still on a diet or whether that nigga's
he looks
died.
Sick, eh?
You know, Julius,
I won't even lie, he looks sick.
I think he needs to put out a report, a state capture of his health, and just let us know what's happening. You know?
Yeah.
Before I vote for him and then he dies, you know. Yeah. Let's rather just, you know,
use our vote wisely.
Exactly.
Just put the People's Bay there as the leader of the EFF so we know exactly what's going on.
Nah, bro.
I won't be here for long, guys. I won't be here for long. No, I hope he's healthy, to be honest. But it doesn't look good.
Hey, man. All I'm saying is, from a size 38 to a size 28, nah.
Damn, boy, there's something there. This guy even knows his sizes. The perks of working at Louis V.
I'm just guesstimating. You know, all right,
cool. Okay, so that's about it for the news of the week stories. As you know, South Africa is always a lituation, so it's always entertaining. But yeah, we'll get into the topic of today, stemming from the 2023 Rugby World Cup bid. Okay, so what would it take for South Africa to be a first world country, man? Firstly, do you think it'll happen in our lifetimes?
Yeah, but I'm going to be a dopey by then. So I'm not going to necessarily enjoy the perks of South Africa. Well, I will to a certain degree. But, you know, much of life is great when you experience it during your youth. And you get to make the most of it during your youth.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, imagine being a youth during 97. That must have been calm. You know what I'm saying? No disrespect to the people who fought for our freedom. I'm just saying that must have been real horse cuck having to strike.
It must have been.
And now you see these children don't want to even study and shit like that. They're wasting their lives. Not that studying is the way forward. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
With the opportunities that we have today, they're not making use of it. And you fought for their freedom. I'd be hacked.
Yeah.
I think that's
part of the reason why there is an extent of bitterness amongst black parents or black families in terms of what they want let their children do. Because they've never had this freedom. I mean, we're literally the first generation that is like, we are going to change the world. Our generation is so amped to do shit and do great shit. And they didn't necessarily get the opportunities that we have to follow our dreams. And it's a sad situation, but it's a situation nonetheless. Our responsibility is just to actually achieve those dreams.
Yeah.
And to
now
do
that
it,
we have the opportunity.
We have the opportunity.
Yeah. So I understand where they're coming from in terms of we not all of us are taking full advantage of the opportunities at hand. When there's bursaries to apply for, kids are just being like, but I'll never get that. It's that mentality that's going to make you not get it.
Yeah. Yeah, whether you think you can or you think you can't,
it always
rounds back to that. All right, so the first world country situation. Okay, we'll remove the obvious factors that makes us third world. You know, I want us to take this from a different angle. So, data must fall. We all know this is probably the biggest setback in South Africa. It's way too expensive to go onto the internet, and it's way too difficult to have access to the internet. I think. Personally, the whole world should be a Wi-Fi zone. I've said this before. You just shoot a satellite up there. Make sure the whole world is pinging on those.
If you're the Einstein behind this, why don't you patent that idea?
Hey, I'm not Elon Musk. I don't have the technological brain. But the idea is there. Maybe I should DM Elon Musk on the Twitter streets.
No, you're the entrepreneur behind it.
Yeah.
You don't have to be the scientist behind it. You get the guy that knows the know-how.
Yeah.
And then tell him, hey, bro, just do this thing. All right, now shoot it up in the sky. I'll wear a shot. What's the Wi-Fi password?
Yeah.
And share it with the world.
Yeah.
Now you've got
the Wi-Fi password is Earth 123.
See what I'm?
Yeah. No, I feel you.
See what I'm saying?
Now maybe I'll DM Elon Musk on a serious tip. Maybe I'll DM him. But I'll tell him the intellectual property is mine. If he wants to know for sure, he can come back to this podcast on the 5th. Or the 10th of the 5th, 2017. Come to this podcast. I said it first. We need a satellite that'll make the whole world a Wi-Fi zone. Okay, so we know data is a big issue.
Yeah.
All right.
And on that note about data will open up the doors for a lot of things.
Yeah. More than just infrastructure and access. It'll allow growth, real growth in terms of entrepreneurial spirit. Because South Africans have entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah.
It's just the ability to grow your business, the ability to actually market yourself in the way that it's very, very limited. And that's part of why data must fall. All right. And then another one is education. All right. And not necessarily the quality of education, because I do think we have great schools in this country. We do have really great schools, and I think we come from one of them, if I'm being honest. But obviously the problem is how many people have access to this education, how many people have this education at all.
For me, it's also about the standard set.
Yeah. So by like the take away maths literacy, so
no,
it's just high
that.
Grade standard
I mean,
grade
like BB. If we're gonna enforce change and bring about change in the world, we've got to think differently. Think outside the box, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't think arts and culture is that sought out for in South Africa. So we need
schools,
and we have so many artists out here. So we need to make platforms for them.
Yeah.
You know? We need to when they choose that subject, make the curriculum in such a way that it develops their skills. Not just okay, paint this, paint that, okay. Go try and apply for varsity now and try and get law.
Yeah, this is also the perspective of the education. What history are we learning? Where are we going with what we're learning?
And you never know where you come from, where you're going, unless you know where
you
come
from. And Africa has such a rich history in and of itself, and we don't get to explore that as much as we should. And our education system, I really enjoy what you're saying about the arts, because we are a really artistically rich nation. I think that's probably our best export, other than Wade van Niekerk, is the fact that we're really great at the arts.
Yeah.
And it's just not cultivated enough. For example, our school barely had drama. Barely. We had to take drama at the girls' school across the road. Mind you, it wasn't too bad, you know. We enjoyed ourselves at the girls' school.
Like, that walk wasn't fun.
Yeah, yeah. But you see what I'm saying? We're not cultivating that culture, even though it's so rich within us. We go to school and we lose that.
We still
go to school and we want to be lawyers.
Old structures.
Yeah.
And this thing of rugby, cricket.
Yeah.
And I say it like that because they know what
I'm saying.
You
know who's rugby, saying it.
Cricket. No, man.
The people who say it exactly like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, our school didn't have soccer. Do you know how many... You could have had the next Messi in our school, but you didn't know because you weren't willing to put in the work and nurture that child.
Yeah. So we need to change the angle at which we're tackling education as
precisely.
Well. What are we talented in? What can we nurture? What can we grow?
I know in America, in most of the schooling systems, they see a child is talented in sport, a specific sport. They'll be like, okay, we're going to take this child further, all right? However, we do realize that education plays a vital role in this child's development. So he does need to pass to a certain degree, knowing that sportsmen, they're not the brightest of people.
Yeah.
Let's make a benchmark for all sportsmen so that they can fall back on that once they retire.
Exactly, hijack. Exactly,
hijack. You give them the best of both worlds, but you've enforced the one the most.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. So the other obvious thing that we need to counter or take over is leadership. We know our leadership is poor, but this is when we come to rethink the structures of leadership. What do we need a government? Because... This is more like, no, really, because human beings are self-sufficient. We can, if we wanted to, if the structure was set up that way, we could grow our own food, build our own houses, have our own system that doesn't rely on an outside entity that is not reliable at all, actually. No matter who you vote for, you still don't know. But if you are in charge of the growth of your food, the processes, whatever, this is breaking the traditional structures of what leadership is.
Yeah.
I think if we were able to cultivate ourselves and manifest ourselves and grow ourselves without the influence of the top structures, I think we'd have a better chance because our leaders obviously have no interest in us.
Yeah, no, our leaders are junk status.
It's junk status. And this is most leaders across the world.
Yeah.
You know, politics is dirty, politicians are dirty, and that's why I don't understand when...
No, but politics in itself is a business.
Yeah, it is. But why would you go and put your ticket forward for that, saying, I'm voting, I like the fact that you guys are dirty, I like what you guys are doing to our country.
But it's the same as a lawyer who's going to go and defend somebody who's guilty and only hear this guy's innocent side and defend him and win the case.
Yeah.
How does that guy go to bed? He's going to bed nicely because he knows he's putting a nice Lamborghini in his garage.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And he feels justified. He's doing his duty.
So in a way, it's kind of that capitalistic mentality.
So yeah, that's exactly what the government is. It's another business. It's another business. I hate taxes. Taxes are a neza.
I don't want to lie. There's no one who hates taxes the way I do. No, anyways, taxes the way I do.
Yeah. So anyway, breaking down those leadership structures, government is a problem. I think we could do better without them, but that would obviously take a whole lot because we'd have to start from scratch. And it's hard to destroy things. Although we created it, we can destroy it.
I think if the whole of South Africa just decided to mice the government, we'd just be like, Nah.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
We just started ourselves.
Yes, you know what I'm saying? Then, you know, we have the Cliff Central Party. Vote for the Cliff Central Party. And if you like the Cliff Central Party, follow the Cliff Central rules.
Yeah.
If you don't, go follow somebody else's rules.
Okay, I see what you gotta say, but it's still the idea of somebody ruling over you that I have a problem with. But anyway, that's a full debate that we can actually have next week about governments. But I'm talking about our leadership is a flop. That's part of why we're not a first world country.
True.
Okay, so now let's look at what we do have. We kind of have to rush through this because we're running out of time. So we have tourism, our landscaping, our traveling, our country itself, the aesthetic is beautiful. We have resources on resources. And this makes me think about the international investment. You know, how much do we need international investment, really, if we think about it? I mean, Africa is so rich, and we're following this Western idea of what it means to live, what a life is. And we've got our own cultures, vibrant cultures. We've got our own story, but it'll never be the story of the world. So we have to find a way to mix the two, but also keeping South Africa or the African culture alive. I think a big part of that is renaming the country to Azania. You know, that's the name of our people. That's the name of our country. South Africa is just a direction. So I think the name is like rebranding. We're rebranding South Africa. Azania is the first world country now, you know. But yeah, that's a whole lot. Okay, so we do have great private health. Our constitution is one of the best in the world. If you think about it, our constitution is always in the benefit of like the employee or the worker. It's not.
Yeah, it's not in favor of the worker. In my case, let me tell you, the client always seems to be fucking right.
Yeah. But tell that client to go read the constitution. Seriously, the law backs you. You've got more law protecting you than you actually think. That's part of the reason why I think I should go back and study law at one stage in my life, just to know, because people are fucking you over here in this world because you don't know what's up. You know, what our banking system is pretty great as well. And what else? Oh yeah, our culture. I mentioned African culture. Our music is great, man. It just doesn't resonate with the whole world. It's almost like vernacular comedy. Yeah. How incredible is vernacular comedy?
It's the one
compared to English comedy. It's true. By far better. People stand and go crazy. But I mean, you can't make millions. You can't release a special on Netflix in vernac.
Yeah.
So we need to consider the balance between the Western world and the African world. How does the African world become a genuine part of success? A successful African, you know, down to the roots. Because Trevor Noah, I'd say right now, is one of our most successful Africans, but he's partly white. You know, it's almost like for America, Barack Obama is one of the most successful blacks, but he's partly white. We need to be able to remove that partly white and be able to stand on our own as the fully black African and be successful in South Africa and internationally, and to be recognized by both. And the things that we need to fix, you know, our transport. I think our transport is obviously the biggest problem. We don't have a legitimate train system. The Gautrain is there, but it's not across the country. And our public healthcare. Our private healthcare is really good, but our public healthcare is in a shambles.
I won't lie. I think the Gautrain will get extended to the, like, and nationwide, but it'll take time.
Yeah. I definitely do think it'll take time. But yeah, I think transport is a big issue, as well as infrastructure, man. We're still working in apartheid systems. So that's why the whole idea of government leadership
needs to fall. Government must fall.
Anyway, it's been a great conversation, man. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We have a message here that says data must fall and educate using technology, which is great. Internet, if internet is available, we can use technology to educate our people. You could have all the doctor students or medical students discussing problems and answers in a platform online. You know, every subject could be discussed. All right, before Palesa kills me, we're just going to do the worst guy cipher, because we cannot miss out on this.
And we're the worst guys.
We're the worst guys, so we got to do the cipher.
I wish you would say something.
Yeah, you're on stage next week, right, my boy?
This weekend, man.
This weekend. How you feeling? Nervous, excited?
Nah, man, I'm not nervous. Nervous is just gonna fuck with my mentality.
You're a winner.
I'm a winner.
Yeah.
You know, you need to go into this head on knowing that you're gonna win. Even if you don't come out number one, you've won by just getting on that stage, because there's a lot of fuckboys out here posting pictures on Instagram and shit. I dare you to do what it takes to be an true athlete.
Yeah, shout out. So go check the boy out. As for me, you'll see me at Parker's next week, Tuesday, on the 23rd, actually. There's a charity event there. Come through. You sound like a broken record. Anyway, let's wrap up with the worst guy cipher, as we always do, yo. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, I got about 30 seconds or 30 seconds less. I wanna be the best, I gotta get this off my chest. I need to lay it to rest. Hey, I got a baby girl that's gonna be impressed with the way I lay it down on stage when I flex. Flexing on all these other motherfuckers that be thinking that they're the best, but they're messing with the best, and they need to go and stand in line with the rest.
Ho, let me take a second to tell you about my country, Azania. We the winners, we've been found long ago. We the cradle of humankind, and everybody else wanna know how to grind, how to hustle like we do. The show is coming through, we gonna finish it up, but you know how we do. We gotta tell the truth, we the worst guys, we the proof. So let me tell you one more time while I'm up in this booth, cause I gotta go, but this is the end of the show. Tell me once more, what is this country to you? Yo, we the best, fuck the rest, we the test, and everybody will never detest South Africa. Yo,
hey, hey now.
We are. Thank you very much for listening. We'll catch you next week, yo. It's the worst guys. Wake up. CliffCentral.com.